Good. Good evening. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, CoStar, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start, Mr. Serino has requested that he may be receiving a call about a family emergency, so he's going to leave his phone on the table tonight, just in case somebody sees him on his phone. Thank you. Roll call, Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Here.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Here.
Mr. Fiore? Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale? Mr. Walsh? Mrs. Walsh, Joyce Pegler, we have a quorum.
Okay. Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, and function within the community that regards student, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it is presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. It brings us to our first public comment on agenda items only. Before we do that, Mr. Carrera is going to explain the agenda items as to maybe eliminate some questions ahead of time.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
I would just like to make some brief comments on the agenda items and go over the handouts that I provided with the agenda. Just want everyone to know that there is a public hearing that will be scheduled for Tuesday, May 6, 2014, where the budget will be discussed in much greater detail than tonight, obviously. And what I would like to do, however, is to set the stage, answer whatever questions you may have at this point, and that goes for the board as well. If you have any questions along the way during this presentation, you could ask me, stop me and ask me. I do want everybody to know that this tentative budget was thoroughly discussed at two special finance committee meetings. We had one on February 27th and one on March 6th, solely to talk about the 2014 budget. So it was very much vetted by the school board finance committee. Tomorrow, the budget will be given, actually hand-delivered to the county superintendent of schools. He will go over it, and he has the authority and the power to make changes. So we'll know, soon. Once it is approved by Joe, it does get advertised in the paper. But tomorrow, I'll be sending that off to Mr. Passman for his review. My intent tonight is to go over and discuss the four motions that are on the agenda, also via the attached handouts that I passed out. All right, so why don't we get into, there are actually four motions on the agenda. And all four of them have to do with the 2014-15 budget. The wording on most of these is set by the state. We just basically fill in the numbers. The first motion that the board will be approving, and again, this is the tentative 2014-15 school budget. The final budget will get adopted on May 6th after the public hearing. The first motion has to do with the board making a deposit of $300,000 into the capital reserve account. Right now, the board has $81,087 in the capital reserve account. This would be adding another $300,000. The max that is allowed in the capital reserve account is actually equal to the local share of all of the projects that are in the long-range facility plan. And if you take just the 11 projects that were approved, these ride grant projects, if you just take those alone and assume that we're going to get funded 40%, our local share would be a little over $5 million, like $5.6
million. No. No, I think it's
so.
Forgot to turn it off.
And in the resolution, the second sentence in the resolution, it says that the district intends to utilize these funds for the local share of one or more of the projects identified in the long-range facilities plan. I think it's incumbent upon the board and they're doing the right thing with respect to putting monies into the capital reserve account. We got the approval for 8 of the ROD grants. We have to come up with the local share, and if we can do that, we can fund one or more of these projects. So this is a step in the right direction, and it'll give the board the flexibility next year to do one or more of these projects. So that's the first motion. The second motion has to do with the travel and related expense reimbursement for next year. This is basically the same motion that was approved for the 13-14 school year, and the same amounts are in there. First, in this motion, it says that anyone, board members, staff members, have to get prior approval from the board before they can travel and get reimbursed for expenses. That's in here. Also in here is a threshold that every board member, staff member is allowed $150 for regular travel without getting the approval of the board. And also, there's a max for the entire district of $50,000. It can't exceed that amount. So this is an annual resolution that must be adopted by all school boards, and it's identical to what we approved for the 13-14 school year. Any questions so far? All right. Motion 3 is the adoption of the tentative budget. So the board will be adopting this tentative budget and then authorizing me to submit the tentative budget to the Executive County Superintendent of Schools for his approval. All right, so let's take a look at that on page 3 of the agenda. And the board is actually approving really 3 different budgets. It's really one school budget, but it's divided into 3. We have the general fund, or the operating budget is called, which is a combination of current expense and capital outlay. It used to be that when these budgets were voted on, that the public had to vote on current expense and they had to vote on capital outlay, and then they changed it so that, you know, they just voted on general fund. So now we have general fund, which is one category. We have the special revenue fund, which is the combination of state and federal programs. And then we have the debt service. All right, so let's just talk about each one of them. And maybe in talking about it, we can also look at this particular handout. And I explained to the Finance Committee, this was something that I used when I was in Homedale. I was the business administrator in Homedale for many years. And it's something that I developed and used there. And it's good in that it gives a top-level summary of not only this year's budget, but next year's budget and any differences. So let's just take a look at general fund. The general fund budget increased for next year by less than 2%. It's actually, if you look at it, it's 1.61%. for the general fund. It's like the fourth line down. And the general fund budget, again, is a combination of the current expense, the deposit to the capital reserve, and other capital outlay. There's a small amount of capital outlay in this budget, very small, $76,259. But the total general fund is $24,029,389. That's the number that appears in the agenda item, and it's also the number that appears on my budget analysis, if you look at it. Now, the general fund is partially funded by the tax levy, and it's partially funded by other revenue. And on this sheet, this budget projection analysis, I list all of the revenues other than the tax levy. And all of the other revenues total $11,454,357. And you see where that's coming from. You see that $255,000 is coming from fund balance, monies that we anticipate will be left over this year to be used next year as revenue. Tuition reserve, which is monies that we're not going to use and we have to put in for tax relief, so that's $100,000. Monies that we're budgeting from tuition, what we charge our seven sending districts, $9,366,309, which is an increase over this year of $530,245, even holding the tuition rate the same. We have Point Pleasant agreement. This is one of the shared services that we have. We have an agreement with Point Pleasant to fund three different teams, athletic teams, bowling being one of them, ice hockey another, there's a couple more. But we get money from Point Pleasant to do that. They don't have enough people, students, to actually fund their own team, and they come here and they share with us. But we get monies for that. CDL, $890,000. This year, we have a CDL loan of $1,376,474. We don't need that kind of money next year. So I am recommending that the board use $890,000. And basically, most of this is because the ratables really haven't come up to speed. The mayor mentioned in the paper, and it just bears out with the numbers, that we're about halfway there. The ratables have come back in town, maybe 50%, but we're not there yet. So, we're using some CDL monies next year, $890,000, to offset the decline in the ratables. It's anticipated within, in a couple of years that the ratables will be back to where they were prior to Superstorm Sandy. State aid. State aid next year, we were told, is $586,048. Very, very small increase, $19,120. When they talk about New Jersey being a very difficult state to live in with the taxes being as they are, it's because we don't get the state aid that we need from the state for these increases in the budget. That's a very small amount of money, $19,000, to offset any increases in the school budget. And it's been that way for years. Extraordinary aid is reimbursement that we get from the state for special education students whose basically cost of services is more than $40,000 a year. And we have a few of them, and we get aided for that. And then miscellaneous revenue is one example, is interest on investments. We're anticipating $40,000. So the total of this other revenue, and you see how it's broken down, is $11,454,357, and it's the number that appears in the agenda. But I've given you the breakout of that. So the amount to be raised by taxes is $12,000. $575,032. That's the tax levy, and that is a number also that is on the worksheet. That's an increase over this year of of $540,048, which is 4.49%. Now, even with that, if you take a look down below where it says assumptions, tax levy increase of 4.49%, we are actually under cap by $1,104,206. And the reason for that is the way the state calculates the cap is they take our tax levy, add back the CDL loan, and times it by 1.02%. That becomes the cap. So if you do that mathematics, it comes out to $13,679,238. That's the cap. And our tax levy, $12,575,032, is under that number by $1,104,206. So we don't need a tax cap waiver because we're under cap. And the reason is because it's complicated with the CDL loan. That's a factor in the state's calculation. All right, so that takes care of the general fund. You see the total expenditures, the anticipated revenues, and the taxes to be raised. The special revenue funds, they're like pass-through programs. They don't cost the taxpayers anything. No tax levies needed. They're completely funded by state and federal sources. And some examples are Title I, Title II, IDEA, all of the non-public programs, textbook, the nursing program, technology, 191, 90, 192. These are all the pass-through state and federal programs that we get 100% funded by the state and federal government. No tax levy needed for special revenue. So you see that there. You see the total expenditures of $341,287. You see revenues of $341,287. You see zero taxes to be raised. Completely funded programs, like pass-through programs. All right, then we have debt service. And debt service is the repayment of principal and interest on previously approved school bonds. And I guess most of you are aware that we went through a refunding process at the beginning of last year. And with that, it's helping to reduce our debt service going forward. The high school bonds will be completely paid off in the 2015-16 school year. So that means that the debt service in the year 2016-17 will drop from over $1 million to $666,350. It's like a drop of 35% in the 16-17 school year. So that's dramatic, and that's something that you'll see in the 16-17 school year. And I did send the entire board a copy of our debt service analysis, so you see exactly what bonds we have, what we're paying this year, next year, and the drop-off in 16-17. All right, so that's debt service. The total expenditures next year for debt service are $1,032,425. Anticipated revenues, there is fund balance that we have to use, and we're appropriating for tax relief next year of $19,967. That means that the amount to be raised by the taxes, tax levy, is less than that. It is $1,012,458. Now, one thing that I want to stress, and this will be, I guess, a subject that we'll expound on in the public hearing, is that in the general fund, we have included new programs, new staffing, supplies and equipment, and I attached it for the public as part of the agenda. And that amount is $837,143. It's a four-page or three-page handout that's after my analysis. That's a list of all of the staff, programs, supplies, equipment, or whatever, new to this year's budget that we are contemplating for next year. And that's something, again, will be expanded on at the public hearing. But I wanted everyone to be aware of that. And the fact that even though we're $1 million under cap, we still have the ability to put, you know, these new programs and staff within the budget itself to improve the educational aspect of the school system. Athletics is good too. You have to keep up the academics, and that's what we did. All right, so before we get on to the next one, I just want to go over tax rate impact, because that's very important. Most people are concerned about what this means with respect to their taxes, and I had that calculated down below, and I just want to go over that with you. Starting with the line that says assessed valuation, the assessed valuation, that figure that we're using is the number that we got from the town, and that's $1,563,073,300. That is the sum total of all of the real estate in town, the value. It was last year, or this year, $1,521,996,500. So we've increased. When the mayor says that, you know, it's coming back, the town is coming back, well, the assessed valuation has come back, and it has come back over $41 million. That's like 2.7%. We're like halfway there. We have to come back another $40 million to be like where we were prior to Superstorm Sandy. But we're getting there. So that's the assessed valuation that we're using, the one that we got from the town, to calculate what impact this budget now has on the people in town. So very simple math, you take the general fund tax levy divided by the assessed valuation, you get a tax rate, all right? The general fund tax rate, and this number is for every $100 of assessed valuation. So even though I used in this example an average resident that has a home that's $488,900, very few people have that exact assessment. You would take your assessment divided by 100 and multiply it times the tax rate to get your own. But this gives you an idea of what the average person in town would be paying based upon this budget. For the general fund, if you take the budget divided by the assessed valuation, you get a tax rate of 0.8045. This year it was 0.7907. The increase is a little bit more than a penny and a half. It's 0.0138, right? That's the difference in the tax rate next year and this year. With respect to debt service, the debt service tax rate next year is 0.0648. Again, this is for every $100 of assessed valuation. The debt service this year is 0.0690. It actually went down. The tax rate went down for debt service because the debt service for next year is lower than it is this year. So if you look at the total tax rate for general fund and debt service, because you don't pay for special revenues, you know, you pay for two of the three, the tax rate next year is estimated or projected to be 0.8693 for every $100 of assessed valuation. It is this year 0.8597. The difference is less than one penny, 0.0096. So on a house that is assessed at $488,900, you would divide that by 100, multiply it times the tax rate, and you would get a general fund tax, total tax for the year for school, for the general fund, $3,933.20. This year, it's $3,865.73. The annual tax increase is $67.46. Monthly, $562. If you do debt service, go through the same calculation, on a house that's assessed at $488,900, divide by 100, multiply it times the tax rate for debt service, you get a tax, an annual tax for debt service of $316.81. This year, it's $337.34. The school tax next year for debt service actually goes down $20.53. So if you add $67.46, which is the increase for general fund, and minus out the decrease in debt service, you get an annual tax increase for next year's budget, this budget that is being voted on tonight. The annual tax increase is $46.93 on a house that's assessed at $488,900. That's $391 a month. Again, you know, you'd have to do the math yourself with respect to your own assessment, but, you know, you take your assessment, divide by 100, multiply by these tax rates, and you can get your tax, and you can compare it to what the tax is this year. So that gives you an idea of the impact of what's being proposed here on the taxpayer for next year. And down below, what I did was I listed 14 assumptions based upon what we're looking at in this budget. We're looking at, number one, a slight increase in the general fund state aid, very small. We're looking at a small increase in the general fund tax rate. We're under cap by $1 million, $1,104,206. We are projecting an 8% increase in health, in the health rates, and a 2% increase in the prescription. But budget to budget, the budget next year for health is like $16,000 less than what was budgeted this year. So, and the reason for that is because the board just completed or settled an agreement with its staff members and went to a different health plan. So there was a significant savings this year as well as next year as well. We budgeted for an increase of 4% and 3% in property and liability and workers' comp insurance next year. We're budgeting for a CDL loan of $890,000, and we did get the approval for that. You have to apply for that before you can actually use it. We did get the approval for that $890,000. And that's budgeted basically to offset the ratables due to Sandy. There is no increase in the regular education, special education tuition rates, and that's the last motion that's on the agenda tonight. They're gonna stay the same, $13,100 for regular 9 through 12, and the LLD rate, special ed rate, $17,875. Bank cap available for next year. We're under cap by $1 million. We have the ability to bank that. So next year we can utilize, if we need to, some of this bank cap. It's good for 2 years. So you can either use it next year or you can use it the year after. So, you know, you're not losing it. You're just postponing the use of it. So if there's a need for it. I mean, we didn't need bank cap this year. So, you know, we lost whatever it is that we had to use because we weren't even up to cap. But, you know, that's a footnote. We have unassigned fund balance. We are allowed by law to keep 2% surplus, and that number is $542,373. That's in the audit. We currently have reserves. We have capital reserve of $81,087. We have an emergency reserve of $50,000. We have a tuition reserve of $100,000 and maintenance reserve of $10,000. Debt service fund balance used at $19,967. One tax point is the equivalent of, I used to be mayor of my town and I used to deal with numbers like this, but one tax point is equal to $156,307 of appropriations. Basically, that's saying that if you wanted to cut a point from this budget, you'd have to decrease your appropriation by $156,000, or if you wanted to add a point to the budget, you'd have to add $156,307. Number 13, we're depositing $300,000 in the capital reserve. And number 14, the 2014 budget includes $837,143 in new positions, programs, supplies, and equipment that are detailed on that sheet that you have attached to this. All right, so that's motion three. Any questions on that before we go to the last one? All right. Motion four, that has to do with the tuition rates, and you know, you have to approve this because it ties in with the budget. I'm recommending that the board hold the tuition rates the same for regular ed and for the special education, all these special education programs. The regular ed, 9 through 12, is $13,100 per student. And we have one category. We have the LLDs, $17,875. And as you see from the worksheet, even holding these tuition rates the same, we're projecting next year, because of an increase in students, and that's basically where the additional monies are coming from, we're estimating that an additional tuition revenue of $530,245. And that's basically due to an increase in students, both regular ed and special ed. We did an analysis also, and I supplied the board with this, of tuition rates over the last 25 years. There was only one year, and that was in the 2011-12 school year, where the tuition rate was more than $13,100 for regular ed. Only one year in the past 25 years. And the reason why it was more than 13-1 in the 12-13 school year was because of the re-roofing project at the high school. The cost of that project was included in the budget and passed along as tuition. And it kind of was an anomaly, and it wasn't the only year. And I don't anticipate that when these tuition rates are certified, and they actually are certified, even though we charge $13,100, 2 years from now, when they certify these rates, if the certified rate comes in at $13,200, guess what? They owe us an additional $100, and we collect it. So it's just, you know, it's something that we use basically for budget purposes. They use for budget purposes. But 2 years from now, when the actual final costs come in for 2014-15, they pay whatever the rates, the certified rates are, and they're certified by the state. So that takes care of resolution, the last resolution. And I guess you can have any questions for from the board and I guess the public at this point.
I just have a question. The wish list could be altered. Yeah,
it's not a wish list.
Yes, we get the microphone.
Those are new positions.
Yes, the new positions list and all the added like supplies. Technology, this could change, right? Am I correct? It's not set in stone.
No, it is set. No, it is set. It's, we work with the administration.
Right, the amounts. I'm saying the amounts.
The amount,
but
the programs, right. The new positions, we met with each administrator, every supervisor included, so each and every administrator. So that's what we are recommending.
Recommend.
Because we've already cut. Dominic came to us, and we had to cut significantly to get where we are. So these positions, what you see, hopefully will be in the 14-15 school budget.
Okay.
And programs and curriculum revision, because you have to do it every 5 years.
Right.
So, yeah. Sure, I will be more than happy to talk about how, 1 minute. No, how the budget was built on my end with the educational end of it. We met with each administrator because this is my first year doing the budget here. So we wanted to know what was done before versus now. And what we did was we asked them to go back to their schools, which they've done. And every October, once school starts September, you're already building your budget for the following year. So every supervisor and principal, assistant principal went back to the schools
and they decided what were the priorities. They gave us, everyone usually says a wish list, but they gave us what was important to them. We looked from the past of what they asked for, did not receive just because where the dollars were at the time, and we met with Dominic, and then we looked at the budget. He gave us our numbers, and we had to go back to that complete list they handed over to me, which we reviewed line item by line item. And then as we cut, we asked them their priorities. They're the building administrators. They run their buildings. Certainly, we have the final say, but if it was justified, we were comfortable with it. So then the third round was when we were ready to prepare the sheet, what Dominic just went over. There were a few dollars we had to cut again, and we called the principals and said, this is where we are, what do you want? So leaving here this evening and showing you the sheet and information, the administration was absolutely involved in the process, and they were not cut because we wanted to cut them. It was a decision, and we both could live with it, so we compromised. So it was a very good process, and I just don't believe administrators should be kept in the dark, if you will, and then be told months later, by the way, you don't have that special ed teacher that you do need. It's law. We have to have it. So we were very pleased with it, and Mr. Carrera was very detailed, attention to detail in the process, and I think it worked out well for all of us. So, in conclusion, Mrs. De Palma, to your question, that was the process, and everything that's here has been looked at 2, 3, 4 times over. So this is what we're projecting and hoping that will be approved eventually. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Preet. Thank you, Dominic, very much. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This first public forum is limited to comment on the agenda items only, please.
Michelle Salah, 44 Parker Avenue. First of all, who are the finance, who's on the finance committee?
Michelle, I don't think that's on.
Who are the board members on the finance committee?
The chairman of the finance committee is Jim Walsh, Mrs. Muley, Mr. Clayton,
Mark,
Mr. Fury, and I believe Mr. Vitale.
Mr. Vitale, yep.
Okay. Dominic, if I understand correctly, the 4.49% increase, we're allowed to go over the 2% cap because of the CDL money. Is that, am I understanding that right, that that normally it's a 2% budget increase that you have to stay under? I'm not sure that I understood what you were saying as far as the CDL money.
The actual calculation is different. The state calculation, what the state does is they take our current tax levy, this $12,034,544, they add the CDL loan, the $1,376,474, then they multiply it times the 2% cap. That is our cap. So the way they calculate the cap is using the CDL factor.
Okay. So, but the percentage increase to the Manasquan tax levy is what percentage?
Well, if you're just comparing levy to levy, it's 4.49%.
Okay.
Yeah.
My other question is, with the healthcare increases, Well, let me back this up. We never were told what the settlement was to the teachers' contract. Can you tell me what's in the proposed budget for the teachers' increase in salaries and administrations? That was never disclosed to the public. Actually, I'd like to know what the 3-year numbers are, if we could.
Yeah. The teachers, again, they just settled the three-year contract. It ends next year, all right? First year, 2%. The second year, 2.3%. Third year, 2.3%.
Okay. And on motion one, when you talked about the long-range facilities money and you had alluded to ROD grants, is all of the money that's being assigned there, is any of the money that's being assigned there intended for the athletic field, or is it strictly for the ROD grants?
It's strictly capital reserve.
So it can be used for the athletic field if the board chose to do that?
Anything in the long-range facility plan.
Okay. So if I'm understanding correctly, the sending districts are not getting an increase, but the finance committee is recommending to the board that you tax the Manasquan taxpayer. Is that correct?
They didn't use those words.
Well, I'm asking, let me use these words. There's no increase to the sending districts. There's no, is there no increase to the sending districts?
I think you said that, yes.
I'm just
saying. There's no increase in the tuition rate, if that's what you mean.
So the sending districts are paying the same that they paid last year per student?
Per student, yes.
Okay. And the Manasquan taxpayer is going to feel an impact, although minimal. We are going to get an impact, but the sending districts' per pupil cost is not going up. Correct? Okay.
Correct.
Because we did discuss it at finance. The explanation that we got was, not only did we go through the estimated to certified, but we also went through, and he said historically, the reason he wasn't recommending increasing to the sending districts was because it was historically high that one year because of the roof project. That was the explanation that we got. So that's where the explanation was that because of the roof project, it was historically high. And that's where the recommendation was not to increase, because we no longer have that roof project. It could be certified differently.
But the roof project is not figured into the tuition calculation.
Yes, it is.
It is?
It was in current expense.
Okay.
And
the tuition calculation is done by the A41. Is that correct? That you,
yeah.
You punch, it's a formula. You punch in numbers.
Yeah.
And then that gives you what the tuition calculation is. My question is, or my concern is, that historically we've also never ever had a 0% tuition increase in the district, and certainly not 2 years back to back with the sending district tuition. So if you punch in numbers each year and come out with a formula, if you're not punching in the same numbers in 2 years, how do you have the identical outcome? If, in other words, healthcare increase, certainly the budget for the teacher salary is different. So if you put in different numbers than Mrs. Hahn put in last year, how do we come out with the identical tuition calculation to our sending districts?
Well, just following up on what Heather said, there is no justification for increasing the tuition rate for next year. There isn't. And as I mentioned earlier, what really counts is the certified tuition rate 2 years from now. The district, if they undercharged, will receive whatever is coming to them based upon the certified tuition
rate. If they overcharge,
it's actually worse, because then the school district has to come up with these additional funds in next year's budget. So there is no justification on my part, and I made that recommendation to the board that they hold the rate the same for next year. And it has nothing whatsoever, the rate itself has nothing whatsoever to do with the calculation using the A41, A42.
So the board, or the business administrator, or the board can set the tuition rate. It's not set by formula. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, when you put the numbers in the state software, they give you a max tuition rate that you can charge. You can charge less than that, but you can't charge more than that. So the districts have the option of, you know, using the numbers that are just put forward by the software, or they can use the A41, A42, which we do every year.
Okay, so we don't say that we're just, here's my concern. When we were talking about the field, the previous finance chair had a comment up on the district website that we were not going to be increasing the tuition to the sending districts. We were going to try to keep it in check. On June 25th, there were comments made that we were going to try to keep it in check so that we could possibly get the sending districts to volunteer to pay into our field project. Mm-hmm. So I'm questioning, do we have the ability to set that, or is it done by formula? If it's not something in our control, I mean, I think you could see where I'm going. If it's something in our control, are we making a deal and the sending districts are getting nothing and we're getting something? Or is it done, you know, based on inputting numbers into that software?
Well, the bottom line is, again, that the district is going to get what's coming to them, okay?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, I'm just talking about with respect to tuition, mm-hmm. okay? When the state certifies the tuition 2 years hence, you're going to get, the district is going to get whatever they're entitled to receive. So regardless of what rate you set, that is the rate, the certified tuition.
And when Mr. Passmit looks at our proposed budget, if he thought that the tuition calculation may not be correct, he has the ability to amend that? Is that how that works or to?
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does.
Okay. I noticed that there was money, I think it was $61,000 for sod. Can you elaborate sod for the field? Can you tell me what's planned there or why that amount is in there if we're going to go ahead with a field project?
I believe there's money put into the maintenance budget in the regular current expense budget to regrade, install sod on the football field, and to replace the sprinkler system on the football field. Again, this is what was recommended. If the board decides to go in a different direction, then they can utilize this money in other ways.
So right now, there's no clearly marked 2% dedicated budgeting for $500,000 toward a first lease payment anywhere in this budget. Is that correct? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. And then finally, on the CDL money, I'm just having a little bit of difficulty understanding. We're taking $890,000, which is the loss of ratables, the revenue for ratables.
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
And last year, we took $630-something and change for the tax impact. Mm-hmm. So how is it that, or it appears to me, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, that the number's higher this year, and mm-hmm. if ratables are even back 50%, how do we have the ability to take more money than we took last year to offset the tax impact?
Yeah. We had to get approval for this. And I had to give the state the information for this year in terms of what our revenues were for this year, what our expenses were for this year, what we're contemplating for next year, and we did get the approval for this. But it is basically mainly to offset the difference in ratables.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why last year would be different when there's more houses on the books this year in the town.
Well. It's a combination of, you know, holding the tuition rate the same, loss of ratables.
Did the board have the opportunity not to increase the Manasquan taxpayer? Or did the board discuss not giving the Manasquan taxpayer any increase?
Yes.
Okay.
It was discussed.
Right. And I'm not directing this to you, but to the Manasquan board members, I think you seriously should rethink that. I don't think it's fair that the sending districts are getting nothing and we're getting anything. I don't care if it's 5 cents more. That's just my opinion. Thank you.
Can I? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
For the discussion in the Finance Committee, and I'm not just speaking on anyone else's behalf, but the discussion that was done in the Finance Committee, the thought process was having monies to do stuff. That what's happening is and. I think there needs to be some clarification, I think, from Dominic from the last meeting of discussion about a line, you know, that there's no money in the budget for a field project or whatever that may be. There was, I think, a statement that I know Ray was not contradicting, but in my opinion, contradicting what I had heard in committee. And I need some clarification on that. And I think about moving money and things. And these are questions that we have in finance, and this is questions I have as a board member. But there was discussion as the Finance Committee that we need to have a plan, and Mark Fury's not here, but I guess he uses the word strategic planning. I said, if we're going to need to do stuff, which is, it's an educationally, facility-wise, there's no argument, I don't think, from anybody that things need to be changed and need to be upgraded. My question was, how do we save for that? Because last year, all it was cut, 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 cut. And now, how do we go forward? How do we build money into a budget so that we can do things with it? That's where my understanding is what we did with a small increase was to start building some money in so that we will not have to always go and say we just don't have.
Right. I think that is prudent, and I think it makes sense. But if we had the ability to increase the sending districts, I think, I'm sure Mr. Fury loved this budget. I would too if I were him. If I was Mr. Forrester, I'd be delighted, no disrespect. But, you know, their wallets are not being impacted, ours are. So I think if we're talking about beefing up revenues and adding to surpluses, it would have been nice if it was distributed equitably.
And there was question of whether, because there was such a drastic, when you look at the certified and you looked at the estimate and you saw the difference in there, and the explanation that we got was because it was the roof project, there was concerns that if we increased it, there would need to be money given back to them, which I think would be putting us in a hole.
I think we're going to find down the pike 2 years in a row of 0-0. It's going to be very interesting a couple of years from now, just my opinion.
And I think that's for the sending districts, it should be noted that if there isn't an increase, we need to think about, they need to do some strategic planning as well, that if there is money that's owed back, that it's not, wait a second, there was no discussion of this.
This has happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And as Dominic said, every 2 years, the rate is certified, and we're either presented with a bill or there's a credit. And we don't have a choice. We have to pay it or we receive the credit.
And there's also the forecasting element of it, too. I mean, predicting how many kids are going to come from the Senate districts plays into some of the two-year look back also. So, I mean, everything gets taken into consideration.
Yes.
Mr. Mike?
Hi, Dick Mikey, 36 North McClellan. On this sheet,
yes.
Dominic, we have the total general fund, and you have the dollar difference of $376,000. Shouldn't
yes.
that be $657,000 when I subtract going across? Is that a mistake?
Mm.
Can I show it to you or you see it?
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you're thinking it went the other, you're subtracting, right?
It's automatically done, so I doubt it went there.
I think it should be
657.
So my numbers are correct. That's almost doubling what's there, so that would increase it over 2%.
Right, the difference should be 676, right, 842.
Right. Okay, so if that is the case, mm-hmm. then the percent difference is going to go over 2%.
But that's still total budget. It doesn't affect anything down below.
No, but
it's two numbers.
Don't we have a 2% cap?
No, the 2% is on the tax levy. It's not on the total budget.
I thought budgets couldn't go up 2%.
No, it's on the tax levy, and the tax levy is exactly correct. And the tax levy went up 4.49%, but as I explained, mm-hmm. it's the state calculates yeah. it a different way. Okay. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the total budget.
So then that difference on the total general fund, where it goes over 2%, rather than 1.61% going over 2%, that doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't affect anything. It was a typo.
Okay. One other thing. What's the cost of individual health care for an individual? The total health care, prescription drugs, whatever you want.
For single and family, you want to
yes.
Give it to you in a second. I think it's on the sheet, actually.
There's definitely single on here.
Yeah, the single is, all new employees get single. So the health is, for single, $7,964.
But they, and they pay percentage, right?
I think that's our cost.
This is our cost. This isn't what they're, yeah, they pay a percentage of it. So the total, this won't give the total, this will be what we pay, because they pay a percentage.
Yeah. The dental is $387, and the prescription is $1,511.
They're very reasonable numbers. What would the family be?
I could give you that. It's just not right here.
Okay.
Just hold on. It could be here.
And with the single, Mr. Meineke, with the single for new employees, until they receive tenure, which is 4 years now and a day, it's single. It's...
Well, they don't get family?
No, sir. No. No. And that was part of the negotiations in the contract. Some districts automatically, when you hire, it's automatic. If they have a family, it's automatically family. Right. Whether you have a family or not, it's single for until you receive tenure.
Dominic, Mr. Clayton might have it.
Yeah, I think I have it here.
While they're looking, did you have another question, Mr. Meineke?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, the family health is $18,801.
Okay.
And family.
And is that our share, or is that that's the total?
That's the total.
The total, and they pay percentage of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, we'll move on to the general Manasquan items.
Can we possibly get an explanation of that, the money?
Old and
that
new.
Or is that okay?
We have old and new.
Oh, right. That's old and new? Okay.
Unless it's going to affect your road.
Well, it was just the budget explanation. I thought it kind of went in line with what we were talking about with the parent, with the public as well. Dominic, can you explain, can you give a summation for everybody? When we talked about in committee about, I know Mr. Pellegrino asked about having to state that there was a field project, and you said about, we talked about some long-term, moving money for long-term, so if we can get a, because there was a question at the last meeting about it, and my impression was it was a little bit different, so.
Right. The committee, I guess at the second meeting that they had, wanted to put monies into capital reserve. I think I had recommended initially like 100,000. They wanted to put a little bit more into capital reserve. If you look at the capital outlay budget, I mean, the capital outlay budget this year includes three different projects and a total of $657,109. There are no capital projects budgeted in capital outlay for next year. There's a decrease in that budget of $580,000. So the discussion had to do with the ROD grants. We got approval for 8 of the 11 ROD grants. The district has to be proactive with respect to, you know, finding local share for some of these. You only have 18 months on which to act on these ROD grants. So you have one budget cycle, maybe, to do this. I'm not sure if you can do it in the following budget cycle, but next year is the budget cycle to do this, at least for those ROD grants that are small enough where you can do them through local share. So the feeling was then that why not put money into capital reserve? We weren't ready to identify what projects we wanted to do. Why don't we at least put money into capital reserve, be responsible, because that's what the board is being here. They're being responsible in putting money in capital reserve to fund the local share of some of these projects. I think the people in town would, you know, look twice upon this budget and say, well, you know, you got approval for 8 projects. What are you doing about the local share? We're doing something. You know, we were increasing our capital reserve by $300,000, bringing it up to that $381,000. That's enough to do a couple, at least, ROD grants. So that was the feeling, and if it meant increasing the tax rate to do that, then that's, you know, that's what was necessary. But the tax rate went up less than a penny and a half, which, you know.
And the ROD grants if we were to receive ROD grants, if we could come up with the share, the local share, we would get, if we come up with the 60%, we get 40% from the government for free, basically.
Correct.
So it's not the full project, but it is 40% of the project. Yeah.
So basically, if you don't do what you can, you're throwing away money. I mean, this, the state is saying, we'll give you money if you do the project, come up with local share. If you don't, you know, find some way, find some mechanism to do that, you lose this much state aid, basically.
And a majority of the, all of the ROD grants are facility upgrades for safety, educational upgrades. Those are the ROD grant focus.
Right, and some of these ROD grants are just too much to be done by way of the budget. I mean, just the example of the science labs. I mean, the cost of that can't be funded through a budget. It has to be funded by another mechanism. There, if you do it, if you go by way of a bond referenda, you can fund all of the ROD grants, get 40% state aid, and, you know, do what you have to do. And, you know, I had mentioned in the Finance Committee, you know, try to do this so that you tie it into the 2016-17 school year where the debt service drops by 30%.
Thank you, Dominic.
Thank you.
And thank you, Heather. Do we have a motion for items 7, A, B, C? Mr. Campbell? Do we have a second? Ms. DePalma? Any discussion on items A, B, and C? Madam Squan. Sandy?
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
For the Manasquan and Sandy Districts, item number 8, do we have a motion?
Motion.
Mrs. Garrett Muley, do we have a second? Mr. Clayton, any discussion on number 8? Sandy?
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Forrester?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Number 9 on your agenda is a typo. We're now move on to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business? Does anyone have any new business? Seeing none, there will be no executive session tonight. And we are now to our second public forum. If anyone would like to speak on any item.
Shella Sala, 44 Parker Avenue. Mr. Pellegrino, on March 13th, I had asked what the board's position was on opening an investigation into directives given by former board members or current board members that were not authorized by the board that may have involved the use of public funds. You had told me at that time that it was the consensus of the board not to expend money to do that. I'd like to know where that consensus was taken, because certainly there was no discussion in public. And I, second part of the question, I also asked if you would please put on the agenda or take a vote so that, you know, I know I'd like to see from, and this is directed to the Manasquan board members, not the sending districts, but I'd like to know the people that represent me, where they stand on this issue, so that the next time I go to the polls, I think I have a right to know that. And I'd like to know where the consensus was taken, why it was not held in public, that discussion, and why you chose not to put that on the agenda or put it to a vote.
The discussion was held in executive session with our attorney present. The discussion about investigating directives to the professionals, especially if it would be the attorney, are protected under the attorney-client privilege. Whoever gave him that directive, that those directives are protected. We had that discussion in closed session, and it was a consensus.
Why would that discussion be in closed session? Because board members are not.
I just explained to you why it was held in closed session, because it was about directives given to professionals, one of them being the attorney, and the directives. The person giving the directive and receiving that directive is protected under attorney-client privilege. And Mr. Gross isn't here to explain it.
That's okay.
That's
how
it was explained to me. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Check another source with Mr. Paff. My other concern is on the superintendent's contract, Mrs. Laprete's contract, for the board members that were here at the time, Linda DePalma, Mr. Pellegrino, Mr. Clayton, Mr. Campbell. Did you read the contract before it was approved? Did all of you read it before it was approved? It's 7 pages.
Is there a question?
Yeah. Was the contract read by the board members that approved Mrs. LaPreet's contract on June 25th?
I believe it was.
Okay.
We're not going to poll individually.
Well, here's my question. All of you approved it at the board table, and this has nothing.
That?
This has nothing to do.
Ms. Clayton wasn't there.
This has nothing to do with Mrs. LaPreet at all.
Okay? No.
It has to do with process and procedure of the board.
Of course.
It goes along the lines of what I've been talking about. A board member asked Mr. Bauer, who was the board president, who signed that contract, is the contract the same as our current superintendent? And the answer was yes. And the dollar amount was asked, is it $605 a day? And the answer was yes. So for all of you that read the contract, I don't know why nobody interjected that that wasn't true, that Ms. LaPreet's contract is in fact $48,000 more approximately than Mr. Mahan's was. Mr. Mahan was paid per diem, and the current interim is paid for time off, when the school is closed, the school calendar days. And I don't understand, and this is what I'm concerned about, Tom, and there may be other things like this. You know, the flow of information to the table was not accurate. And that might have changed somebody's vote that night. Somebody may have said, wait a minute, that's not what I thought. If you read the contract, you would have known it was different. And nobody interjected and jumped in. The board member that talked about not having the contract prior asked the dollar amount. And nobody said, by the way, that's wrong. And nobody said anything, they sat there silent. So these are the kinds of things that I don't understand how any Manasquan board member can think that that's okay. I have questions to, you know, if you're manipulating votes by giving misinformation, or is it intentional? Is it unintentional? Is it a mistake? Is it willful? But without anybody looking into it.
You're drawing a lot of conclusions.
There's no conclusions. Those are questions.
Well, the conclusion.
Those are questions.
You supported the conclusion with the following questions.
No, Tom. I said we will not know whether or not they were willful or they were not willful, were they intentional or not intentional, without an unbiased third party looking at it. You know, I know where you stand on this. And I got to tell you right now, you represent all of us. These are public funds. They're not your private wallets. And this has happened with the field where, you know, and this is proof. These are not allegations. We've proven that certain documents did make it to the board. Now you have a board member being told by the guy that signed the contract, and I know he's gone, but we get stuck holding the bag on that. And I think the taxpayers have a right to know who may have been held, who can be held accountable, what will happen to make sure it never happens again. Because by looking the other way, you're condoning that behavior. And I think when you start adding things up, I pointed out the CDL money last time, how during the night of the vote with the CDL money, you have the finance chair explaining $755,000 and leaving off $600,000. And that's nobody's fault but the board's. Certainly the business administrator has it in the paperwork. It's not his fault, it's our fault. So, you know, the board's refusal and the board's silence, I think, is wrong. And I don't know when enough is enough. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I say something about this?
About what?
The budget.
You can say something, but the time to comment on the budget was a few minutes ago, but go ahead.
I just wanted to commend Dominic. This was fabulously, your explanation was beyond reproach. I wasn't sure I was going to understand all of it, and it's 100% clear. I'm very impressed with how excellent this was for me. I hadn't had a lot of budget experience before, and I think it's excellent. Thank you very much. It really cleared a lot up for me.
You can always make positive comments, Ms. Pistone. At any point in the meeting, you can do that.
Well, I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into, and it was very
Can we have a motion to adjourn, please? Mr. Campbell, second. Mrs. Napala, all those in favor?
Yay.
Nay.
All those opposed?
No, nothing, which is good news.
Good news, that's right.